Have been looking forward to this. I hope that you did read it and enjoy it, and it whetted your appetite for it. The hungry will be filled. This is a 5-course meal. This story, wonderful story of David, king. We're going to see David as he represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Nabal, the fool, who represents an unbeliever. And Abigail, his wife, represents the believer. We've looked at this a couple of different ways in the time past. The last time we looked at Abigail as the type of Christ, which he is. But today we'll look at it a little differently. Still Christ-centered. Now David, verse 1 in our text, mentions David. It says, David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. David is God's king. He is God Almighty's chosen. God's elect king. You remember the story. I love that story of how that God told Samuel to go down and anoint his king. He said, don't look on the outward countenance. God had provided him a king after his own heart. Don't look on his outward countenance. And then when David came in, though he looked ordinary, God told Samuel, arise. You're in the presence of the king. Anoint him. This is he. That's another story. But David is God's elect. That's what I'm trying to show you. He's God's chosen, God's king. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in humble beginnings, a man. But we're not to look on the outward countenance. God was manifest in the flesh. And it says in Psalm 2, God says, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, God's elect, God's chosen, God's king. Always has been, always will be. Reigning and ruling. David was God's king. Now, a wise man or a wise woman or a young person will fear the king, will believe the king, will bow to the king, will call upon the king, because he has their life in his hand. This is such a lost understanding today. Very few people have any concept of a king, a sovereign today. It's a lost concept, that of an absolute sovereign. By absolute, I mean a king who sets all the laws, who does what he will because he will. We don't have any understanding of someone like that. It's been a long time. The closest we've seen to something like that in our day was Saddam Hussein. He could just randomly kill, take anything he wanted. He was an absolute monarch. That's what David was. That's who God is. That's who God is. God says, I reign. God says in His Word, I do all things after the counsel of my will, and none can stay my hand or say unto me, what doest thou? That's the God of the Bible. That's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He does as He will, with whom He will, because He will. That's the sovereign. All right? Well, this was David. Only a fool. Only a fool would not recognize the sovereign. A fool who doesn't understand who the king is and doesn't bow to him and rejects him is going to die. He's going to die. That's a fact. All right? Here's this fool. Nabal's his name. It says in verse 2, there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. He had business in another town. The man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. This was a man's greatness, so to speak, was known by his possessions back then. A man was great, considered great by men, if he had great possessions. That's why it says he was a great man. And not to God, he wasn't. But to men. Men thought he was a great man because he had a lot of stuff. Great possessions don't make someone great. The Son of God didn't have one earthly possession. Think about it. Scripture says, better is little with the fear of the Lord. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Trouble. This man's name was Nabal. Look down at verse 25. His wife said, his name is Nabal. See verse 25? Said, don't regard this man of Belial, his son of the devil. His name is Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal, his name, folly. His name, the name Nabal means fool. That's what he was named. He was rightly named, his wife said. He's a fool. He's a fool. Why is he a fool? Why is this man a fool? Because all his possessions were material. All of his possessions, all that he owned, all that he took pride in and had his happiness in and pursued, and all that he did was around these possessions. Now that man's a fool. Why? Because I tell you how foolish that is. A moth can eat $1,000 Italian suit. A moth. When you can't stop them. I tell you how ridiculous, how foolish it'd be for a man to take such stock in things. Moisture. Get up under the fender of that Ferrari Testarossa and rust it to the ground. Or a thief break through and steal that diamond that is your greatest treasure. That's foolish. Try to find all your happiness and devote all your time and energy and effort to things that moths can destroy. And rust will diminish it. Foolish, isn't it? No less than a child playing with a soap bubble. It's going to soon burst. Man's a fool because he didn't fear the king. This is number one reason he's a fool. He didn't fear the king. He didn't fear the king, as we will see. David was his king. Listen to me now. David was this man's king. But he didn't recognize him, did he? Does that mean David's not his king? Does that mean because he doesn't believe he's his king and he's not his king, that he's not his king till he makes him his king? We'll see about that. We'll see about that real soon. You're not my king because I haven't decided to let you be my king. We're going to see about that, Nabal. What What a fool to think the absolute sovereign is not so because he didn't believe it. What a fool. Fool. Well, the scripture says that, the fool. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool hath said, no God. I don't believe God is. What a fool. In him we live and move and have our being. And God became a man. Well, I don't believe he's God because I think he's just a man. You're a fool. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But the apostle said, we saw him much higher than that. We saw him transfigured. Come on, stay with me, folks. I said I wasn't going to do that, but this is too good to miss. I know you've heard it before. I had too, more than you. I got a thrill out of it. Stay with me. I've got to build the story. Got to build the story. Got to show how foolish men are. I hope God will show you, me, how foolish we are and have been and will be and are. A fool. A fool's God is his belly. That's what Paul said. He said, I say it with weeping. Their God is their belly. They serve their God, their belly. Not God who gives them all things. If somebody doesn't fear God, and be it young person or whoever, does not thank God and worship the God who sustains them, the God who keeps them, the God who protects them, the God who continually has mercy on them every waking moment of their life, and even while they sleep. That's the story here of Nabal. God protected everything he had. There was a wall around him. And if somebody, why go to church? Why worship God? It's our reasonable service. We come here to thank God for giving us everything we have, we've received. Person's a fool not to thank God. Why come here? It's to call on to God for mercy because we've been a fool. It's to ask God to spare us because we've been a fool. And we still act foolish, all of us, believers and unbelievers. So we come to ask God for mercy in Christ, the mediator, the substitute, bring in this offering. Sacrifice of praise and thanks. Man's a fool not to do that. But God's gonna kill a fool in the end. That's why we come here, young people. That's why we come here. We come here to thank God because we're breathing His air. We come here to ask God for mercy because we act like He doesn't exist. We just live our lives like we did. We got all it like this fool. Like he did it all himself. When all the while it was his king watching over him. That's why we come here. And anybody's a fool who doesn't worship God. Well, let's look at the fool's wife. Her name's Abigail. It says in verse 3, she was a woman of good understanding, a beautiful countenance. Now, she wasn't always of good understanding. How do I know? She married a fool. What's that make her? A fool. Eve. Scripture says Eve was deceived in the transgression. Was she? Yeah, she was, but yet she was a rebel herself. What Satan said to her appealed to her. And she wanted her free will, and she was a rebel herself, so she rebelled against God. But God held Adam accountable. And I don't feel sorry for women per se that married bad men. They got what they wanted. That's just a fact. Fool for being so naive to that son of Belial. Right? That's just a fact. Most of them are so foolish to marry another one. Why? Because they are themselves fools. She wasn't always a woman of good understanding. She was a fool. But now she has good understanding. Why? Why does anybody have good understanding? What is good understanding? What is it to have good understanding? What is a good understanding? Listen to this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding. Have all day. But have this. Psalm 111:10. We don't have a lick of sense until God shows us who He is. Until the fear of the Lord is created in us. We don't have a lick of sense until God begins to teach us His Word. We don't have a lick of sense until we know God's Son. And this woman now has good understanding. Why? We're going to see. She knows who David is. And she knows what that man is. And she knows what she was and is. She's got good understanding. Says she was a beautiful woman. Good countenance. I like this. A good countenance. You know, I look at people all the time. I observe people all the time. And I look at most people have the countenance of sin all over their face. The world, I don't know how hard to put it unless you understand it yourself, but this world has a stupefying effect on people. Ignorance, you know, is written on people's faces. But you look into the face of somebody that's beheld Christ's glory. Look into the faces, the countenances of God's people. I do all the time. I see enlightened people. It's like, well, I don't have much enough time, but it's like a believer going out and beholding the things. God, they look at everything as God created it. With understanding. Light. Like Moses. Kind of like Moses who came down from the mountain beholding Christ's glory. It says his face shone. His countenance. His countenance. All of God's people have the beauty of holiness. Look like Christ. They may not be the prettiest human to look at. Our Lord wasn't. Scripture says of Him, there's no beauty that we should desire, no comeliness about Him. But was He beautiful? A fairest of 10,000. Altogether lovely. His countenance. His countenance. And on the other hand, these haughty looks that these pretty women all over the world, these painted ladies, the haughty looks of pride and vanity and arrogance that they have, God Almighty detests that. There's nothing God hates worse than the haughty looks of these beautiful people. You know that? And I do too. I hate it. But I think God's people, no matter how they may appear on the outside, I think they're beautiful. Every one of them. Beautiful countenance. Because they have good understanding. Look at the king's word to this fool. Verses 4 and 5, it says, David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. He sent out 10 of his young men. David said to the young men, you go up to Carmel and you tell Nabal, you greet him in my name, and you say, peace to him that liveth in prosperity. Peace to you, your house, peace be unto all that you have. In other words, everything David's not saying here, that I send my peace to you. He's not saying that at all. He says, everything, you live in peace. He said, you live in peace and everything you have is protected and you live in prosperity and there's peace in your house and there's peace to your people and you're not under you don't seem to be under threat at this time, but you're living in peace, aren't you? Why? Well, we saw how that David was a wall under. Now, remember, an absolute monarch, an absolute king can can confiscate anything he pleases. He can take it away. Can't. Absolutely. David needed food for his men. David could have gone down and taken everything that belonged to Nathan. Just take it without a word. Couldn't it? Oh, yeah. That's a monarch for you. An absolute monarch. He could have. And so, but he didn't. And this man freely had all of this. And David, and there were lots of marauders out there, and apparently David's men were protection for this man. And David knew what he was going to do. God did too. That's why this was written. But anyway, the king could have taken everything. It was his right. But he says to the man, he says, you give, verse 8, you give whatever comes to your hand. You give in return for this favor that I've shown you. I've protected. I could have taken everything, but I didn't. I gave. I could have taken away. And I'm protecting all you have. The young men saw this, didn't they? The young men knew this. Nabal didn't. He was a fool. And the young men told him this. Told Abigail. So David says, you just give. It's your reasonable service to give back a little bit to me. It's your reasonable service. And the Scripture says about all men, now it says this about all men, God's tender mercies are over all His work. If anybody's protected from evil, who protects them? God does. If anybody has anything, owns anything, where'd they get it? God gave it to them. Man can receive nothing except it be given from above. And God's law just says now, you live in prosperity. Why? Because I've seen to it. You have things because I gave them to you. Now give them back a little bit. Serve me. Serve me and my people. Serve me. It's reasonable, isn't it? It's reasonable. God, what do we have? We have not received. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. So give unto the Lord. What do we give? Scripture says the glory to His name. That's what we were saying. It's just reasonable for men to come to worship God for all He's done. Just reasonable. A fool. Only a fool would not do that. So verse 9, it says, in the name of David, they ceased. They quit. They told the man this, and that was it. They didn't say to Nabal, now if you will give to David, David will give to you a little spot in his kingdom. Or David will increase your, if you'll give your money, and you'll get, David will really reward you. No. They just say, give back what's rightfully his. And that's it. That was it. Now, as I said, because Nabal doesn't believe David, does that mean he's not Nabal's king? Because he thinks David can't have anything unless I give it to him. Is that right? I love the story of David. One time he was about to go in and take a city. I forget the name of the city. David was about to go in and take the city. And the people of the city, foolish as they were, they put their little idols all over the wall of the city. What was the name of that city? It wasn't Jericho. No, I forget. Anyway, they put their little idols all over the top of their walls, kind of like you see all over Notre Dame Cathedral and all over these other places. These little gargoyles, you know, they're idols. To protect them, to ward off evil spirits. That's what these people did. They put these little idols all over the wall, and they went back in and they said, and this is why David wrote Psalm 115, I believe. Their gods are just, they're just like their gods, no hands. But they went back into town and said, David can't come in here. That's what they said. David can't come in here. Got our little gods protect. The next line says, David took it. Jesus can't do anything unless I let him.
We'll see about that.
Oh, he's not my Lord. I've got to say he is. Yeah, you will. You will. Every knee will bow. It'll be too late then. Nabal found out. Well, here's this fool's reply. In verse 10, I've got to hurry. Nabal answered David's servant and said, "Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse?" Well, there's a lot of fellas out there that claim to be somebody. A lot of men out there. He's just another man. Who is he? I don't. Nabal doesn't believe David. He believes he's just a man. We'll see. Verse 11. He says, "Will I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed, I've raised all this, I've done all of this by my effort, by my free will." You see, I have a free will, and I haven't decided. This is mine. "Shall I give mine to him? Oh, is it yours?" And I say, as I said, David's men didn't argue with him. They're not going to argue with a fool. The proverb says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly." They didn't argue with him. "You fool, don't you see? Don't you see the guy?" They already told him. They already warned him. And they went back to David and they told David, "Here's the king's command concerning fools. Here's what the king says about fools." Look at it. Verse 13. It says, "David said unto his men, gird on your sword, every man. And they girded on every man his sword." Look down at verse 21 and 22. And don't be silly about this. This is God's word. Verse 21 and 22. "David said, surely in vain I've kept all this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. He hath requited me evil for good. So, and more also, do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall." I'm going to kill every male in that place. I'm going to kill them. David said, "Get your swords on, boy. We're going to kill them all. That fool and all his house." This is God's king. This is a man after God's own heart. This is the sweet psalmist of Israel. Kind, tender, merciful, most loving, gracious man on earth at this time. Forgiving, full of mercy. You just have to ask him. He said, "I'm going to kill them all." That's Christ. That's Jesus. Some call him gentle Jesus, meek and mild. That's what they still call him. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's the Lord on the throne. Scriptures talks about he's coming the next time. His garments are going to be dyed red with blood. Whose blood? Not his own. This is what the Scripture says that of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Gird on your sword. I'm going to kill that fool and everybody else that believes like him. Everybody in that house that rejects me, I'm going to kill them all." Well, the fool's wife, Abigail, she comes to the king. Look at verse 14. "One of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, David sent messengers to salute our master, and he railed on them. But they were so good to us, and what are you going to do?" See, Abigail, she heard of David's mercy to her household. This is her house. These are her family, too. She's the wife of a fool. She's lived with this fool, so she's part and parcel to everything he does, right? And she heard of David's mercy to them. It gave her a good understanding. Oh, my, how merciful David's been to it. And then she heard David's coming again. He's coming to slaughter us. What's she do? What's she going to do? She's going to come and ask for mercy. She's going to come to David. She came to David. Now, she doesn't know if David's going to receive her. David doesn't know her. God does. But David, she doesn't know if David's going to spare her or not, right? She had to come, though. She doesn't know if David's going to even listen to her. Every one of us, what the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Young and old alike are all guilty before God. God doesn't have to spare us. God doesn't have to spare us because our daddy is a believer, our mother's a believer, our husband, our wife. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law's against us. Justice of God's against us. The soul that sins must surely die. We don't deserve to live. That's what we were looking at in the law. God's just. Holy. The commandment's good. It's fair. It's right. David came down against her. Now, if David is against her, nothing and nobody can do anything about it. Right? If David is against Abigail, if he won't receive her, there's no hope for her.
But on the other hand, if David is for her, if David receives her, if David spares her, then from that day forward, who can be against her?
All her hope lies in David, his word, the word of a king. She has to come to him. I love that story. Brother Ed Berry and I were talking about that story of these pagan kings that knew that they were, their country was going to be destroyed, and they were enemies of the king of Israel, and they knew that they deserved to be hanged. And it says they came to the king of Israel with ropes around their necks. They did. They all put ropes around their necks, saying, "This is what I deserve." And it says they came because they heard that the kings of Israel were merciful. And they came with these ropes around their neck and said, "Would you spare us?" How much more the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You just come to Him. Just come to Him. Oh, you can come boldly too. Not arrogantly, not flippantly, but freely. To the throne of what? Grace. Why? That you might find help. Hope, mercy. There is mercy. Well, what did she bring? How did she come? She didn't come empty-handed. What did she bring when she came? It says bread and wine. Of all things. She heard David likes bread and wine. And sheep. Killed a lamb. Sacrifice. And the fruit. David likes fruit too. I'll bring the fruit. Whatever my Lord requires is what I'm going to bring. Oh my. And you see how this is such a picture of Christ too. But you can't, my pastor says, you can't make it walk on four legs. This represents Christ as our intercessor, our mediator, who interceded for his young men, not Nabal. Not all of them. She's not interceding for Nabal, but her young men. Particular redemption. At any rate, she brings to David what he will accept.
We come to God. We come to Christ by faith in Christ. We come to Him not without blood, but pleading the blood of the Lamb, always, always, for mercy.
Oh, my. Listen to her plea. I hope you read this. I hope you read this in your free time. I'm running out of it. It says, verse 23, when Abigail saw David, she hasted. Oh, he that believeth will make haste. That means this was urgent.
If you ever see Christ really as your only hope, and that you're a goner without His mercy, you won't wait around. Oh, that's more convenient.
Today will be the day of salvation. I got to get to Him. She hasted and lighted off the ass, that is, came down off her high horse and fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. See, this is salvation, to bow the knee now, to confess with the tongue now that Christ is Lord. Not everybody's going to do it eventually. For some, it's too late. And salvation is to do it now. She bowed down. She said she fell on her face and fell at His feet. Let's go on down. It says in verse 28, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. You see, she owns her own sinfulness. She just doesn't say, well, my husband's a fool, and don't hold me responsible for what. Oh, no. Forgive me. Forgive me. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I've sinned. Every person in here, young and old alike, got to confess your sin to God. Nobody can do it for you. And no man can stand between you and God except Christ. Now, therefore, it says, forgive me. The Lord will surely, here's her confession, the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all that thy day. Are you understanding how this speaks of Christ? This is our profession. It says in verse 29, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord, my King, shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. What she's saying is, your life is found in you. Life from God. You're God's King. You're my King. So you're God to me. Ah, but he's just... this is God's man. This is Christ. Speaking of Christ. Evil. It says, and he'll sling out his enemies. It's the middle of a sling. She heard the stories of David and Goliath and David killing the bear and the lion. Didn't she? She heard what David did to his enemy. She heard that. And she believed. God gave her good understanding who David was. You see that? She knows who David is. She fears the King. That's why she has good understanding. And she comes to the King. He that feareth will come to him and ask for mercy. Well, look at this. This is wonderful. Verse 32. David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee to meet me. You know why you're here, Abigail? You know why you know who I am? You know why you're appealing for mercy from me? God sent you. You wouldn't be here. You'd be just like that fool of a husband of yours, or you wouldn't be here. If God had not first loved you and chose you and called you by His grace and sent you to beg for mercy from me. God hath blessed you, Abigail. God has surely blessed you greatly. Sent you to me. Well, look at this. Verse 35. So David received of her hand what she brought. And David said unto her, go up in peace. And David said, I have hearkened to your voice, and I have accepted your person. I'm sounding like Donnie, aren't I? Is it fresh air to you? David received what she brought. What? It's offering. Whoever
comes to God by Christ, God will receive that faith.
Yes, He will. Little faith, big faith. If it's faith in Christ, God will accept it. God will hear the voice of all who plead for mercy through Christ. He'll hear the voice. He hears the prayer of every sinner who comes to Him by Christ. Not Mary, not St. Christopher, not any other saint, but Jesus Christ. God will hear every single sinner.
And it gets better.
And God will grant peace that no man will be able to take away to every sinner that comes to God by Christ. And God will accept your person. You'll be accepted. How? In the beloved. In the beloved. That's how. What's the end of this fool? Verse 36 and 7 says, Abigail came to Nabal. Well, I tell you how much of a fool he was. His life was in danger, and he's getting drunk. He's having a big party. See, several hours at least, a day or two went by, days maybe went by, and nothing happened. Said he held a feast in his house, and Abel was merry. He was happy. He was drunk. And she didn't tell him anymore. What's the sense? What's the sense of it? He'd already been warned by David himself. By David's young man. I meant to show you how that God speaks through men. Christ said, they hear you, they'll hear me. If they don't, they won't hear from me. Well, Nabal was a fool. And he's having a big old time. And it says in verse 37, it came to pass in the morning when he woke up and the wine was gone out of him. His wife told him again these things and his heart died within him. He became as a stone. What a picture this is of whom the Lord hardeneth, whom He will, He hardeneth. Whom He shows mercy, whom He hath mercy on, He'll have mercy. But whom He will, He hardeneth. He hardeneth. And he died. Verse 38. 10 days later, that the Lord, who killed him? The Lord did. He died. He died. Well, what about Abigail? But that's the fool's end. Every fool who rejects a king is going to die. What about a fool's wife? What about a fool's wife who pleads for mercy? Look at it. It says in verse 39, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and spoke or communicated with Abigail to take her to be his wife. And the young men told her this too. She probably heard this and the rumor of it and thought it's too good to be true. But verse 40, the young men came and spake unto her and said, "Yes, David sent her to fetch you. David's going to take you. He doesn't ask her, does he? He's not asking her." Boy, she'd be a fool not to marry him, wouldn't she? She'd still be a fool. What do you reckon she thought? You're not really. Surely not. Not me. Not David. Not a fool's wife. He can have any woman he wants to. No, it's you, Abigail. He sent for you. You sure about that? Oh, yeah. He told you. Yes. I will. And she did. She married him. And she went and became his wife. Verse 42. She became his wife. What about David? What happened to David? Go over to 2 Samuel in closing, look at this. 2 Samuel chapter 2. What about David? We've seen the fool's end, Abigail's end, and really, it's just the beginning for her. What about David's end? 2 Samuel 2, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. Go on. Ascend. That is, to the throne of Judah. Ascend up. Go up. Verse 4, And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah." In other words, David was anointed king, ascended to the throne of Israel, and sat down, reigning, ruling over all Israel. He's anointed king, just like God said he would be. He is now seated. And look at verse 2. It said, "His men, and David went up thither, and his two wives with him, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and
Abigail seated with him."
You see, wherever David goes, she goes too. She's his wife. He's seated, enthroned, and look right beside him. There's Abigail. And it ended happily ever after. There is no end to the throne of the son of David, you see. Of his government, there shall be no end. And peace, no end. And all his people. If you could look into heaven right now, you'd see his bride sitting beside him. Some of them we know, some of them we don't. All of them we will. And if you have come to this king for this mercy, like Abigail, he'll receive you. You're seated with him too. Okay. Let's stand closing.